Culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
What happened to me again last night? And this time I was able to awaken Michelle. You say, Coach, there's signs everywhere. signs everywhere are signs. Blocking out the scenery. How are they going to do this? Don't do that. Can't you read the signs? There's signs everywhere, but I don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do with them. So some of you know this. Some of you don't know this. Two nights in a row, about a week ago, I should have written it down. Two nights in a row, I woke up in the middle of the night. It was like a bomb went off in my house, and I sat straight up. You've all done that, right? That's all happened to you. It happened to me two nights in a row. Boom, something happened. Boom, I sit straight up in bed, and I do what you always do when that happens. You look at the clock. And two nights in a row, it said 3:33. Now, I thought, wow, the odds of that happening twice, two nights in a row, how could you possibly time that you would wake up and it says 3:33, two nights in a row? And it happened to me. And I've been saying, Lord, what the heck was it? What the heck was that, Lord? What the heck was that? And then four nights ago, I should write it down. Four nights ago, the exact same thing happened. And boom, I sat straight up and I looked at the clock and it said 4:44. I'm not making this up, as God is my witness. And I yelled at Michelle, but she was so sound asleep, she didn't. I said, look at the clock. She probably thought I was crazy. And last night, boom, I sit straight up. And what do you think the clock says? 4:44. Now, hey, Steve Deck, what the heck does that mean? I understand what three is. I understand three. What is four? And what is... If anybody out there is a mathematician, could you give me the odds on that happening? Huh?
I don't know what the fours are, but God is definitely showing you something. You got to keep asking.
He's showing me. Steve Deck, listen, if I wake up tomorrow and it's 5:55, I ain't coming back from California, okay? I'm not going to come back.
No, there's something he's trying to show you, Coach.
Oh, I know it, man. I know it. I know it. I know it. And Lord, I'm
double
listening.
Three threes and double 4:44s.
Unbelievable.
What's going on?
Unbelievable, buddy. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Because, you know, you can go to an average person. They can tell you what the four stands for. Four corners of the earth, the four gospels. They can run through the whole litany. What does the numerical number four stand for? I got to find that out because there's a message in there. There's a real message. I'm sorry to bring you into my personal life, but Coach. I think it's unbelievable that would happen twice like that. Go ahead, Joe. By the way, Michelle saw the 4:44 last night. I grabbed her by the hair and made her sit up and look at it. She saw it last night. Go ahead, Joe.
This is also a day of sevens. Today is the 14th day of the seventh month of the 21st year.
Wow. Say that again for a slow learner like me, Joe, because that didn't show up on my clock.
Yes, I know it didn't. Today is the 14th day of the seventh month of the 21st year.
That's enough to make Steve Deck get excited right there.
Okay. Huh? Seven times seven.
I got it. I'm a slow learner, Joe, seven, but I picked that up that first time.
Okay.
So, in other words, if my clock goes off at 7:14, that's something else I probably need to worry about, huh? Hopefully it won't be doing that. You know, yesterday we had another great show yesterday talking about fathers and turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and all that stuff. I don't do sequels well, so I'm going to try to build on that a little bit here today, because I think there's really, really something pretty significant to it there. But I got some other things I want to show you real quickly before we get into it. Hey, you can write this down on your calendar. We got all this. I did an interview. This is humbling to me. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny invited me on her show again last night. I don't know, about 45 minutes, I think it was, with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on her show again last night. And the connections that the Lord is making is really, really, really pretty amazing. And she made the point, I forgot to tell you guys this, that Dr. Sherry Tenpenny will be at Mike Spaulding's conference on the 23rd. That's next weekend already, isn't it? She's going to be one of the featured speakers. She's going to be there. And Michelle said to me last night, does the huddle know that? Do the people listening to you know that? She's going to be there and you can come and meet her. And, you know, hey, listen, I really believe this. We really need to pray for Sherry Tenpenny. And I don't know how she does her show on Instagram. I'm not really up on all that stuff, right? So I did the show last night with her on Instagram. And it was really, I mean, it's a pretty powerful show. And I believe that we need to specifically, I'm talking to our folks out here. We need to specifically cover Dr. Tenpenny in prayer. I don't know if you know this, she's single. Not that that matters. But she told me yesterday, from the time she gets up to the time she goes to bed, it's interview, 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 interview. And she has been laboring in obscurity for almost 20 years, speaking out against vaccinations. You know, that you weren't really supposed to be doing that, were you? I mean, everybody's supposed to accept the vaccinations. He's been given warnings about the vaccinations for 20 years. And now all of a sudden, I asked her last night, I said, hey, Dr. Sherry, what do you feel like when these people on CNN and MSNBC, and they make fun of you, and you call you a quack? And boy, she got a great attitude about it. You know, she says, what do you expect? You know, she says, I wear it as a badge of honor. But man, she is, boys and girls, she is all over it. And I'm telling you, she is at the tip of the spear. She's right there with the information that she has been releasing, the information she continues to release, and she is not backing down because, can I tell you this? She has a spiritual perspective on the world. She said last night, you know, hey, if I die, it's a promotion. No, I don't worry about dying. I don't worry about any of that. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to tell the truth. So I would just ask all of you out there. First of all, she's coming to Dr. Spaulding's event. When we get to that and be part of that, that'll be great. But just some of those of you who have people on your prayer list, put her on your prayer list, man. She's at the, gosh darn.
She gave a tremendous testimony to the State House in Ohio.
She did.
I don't know if you saw that.
That was Glenn.
Outstanding. Yes.
She spoke about that yesterday and how the Lord strategically placed her there and all that stuff, you know. So God bless. She's the real deal, man. God bless her. And let's just continue to lift her up. Hey, I want to start out with something kind of lighthearted today. Can we do that? Before we get into the deeper stuff, Awaken with JP, Spencer. I think it's the fourth thing down there. I don't know how many of you saw that. Hey, friends, listen. I'm not a fear porn guy. I pray to God that you don't come to this
show. Now we need you.
I pray you don't come to this show every morning to be scared. I pray that's not what this show is. That you get hit with fear porn and this is going to happen and this is going to. I pray that's not why you're here. Because I like this to be I did the most powerful promo. Oh, it's a lot of good things. Promo for Brighty on TV. They'll have it up here ready soon and I'll show it. But the most we hear. Do the greatest mixture, and be careful when you say greatest, of what's going on in the world and the spiritual component that's causing it to happen. I don't know where you find this. I just don't know where you find much of this. And it's amazing because, you know, I'm not a theologian, certainly not a theologian. But I tell people I can think and I can read. And so that's what I do. I put two and two together. So I mentioned yesterday, foolish, it says in Timothy, I think it is, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, for they do engender strifes. foolish and unlearned questions. I don't know about Q. I don't spend time arguing, talking about Q said this and Q said that. Those are foolish and unlearned questions. I don't know. So I don't want to give you any hopium that Donald Trump's coming back as the next president of the United States. I don't do any of that stuff, folks. I don't do any of it. I try to find what I think is revealing stuff. I try to throw it on the table and give you the information, and then you do whatever it is you want to do with the information. And I hope that you're receiving it that way, and that this is not a top-down ministry, although it's all top-down from the Lord, is it not? But that's not the way we operate. And I said it 1,000 times. That's a lie. Many times. Your 2 cents is worth 2 cents here. I may not agree with you, but it's you throw it on the table and we'll consider it. So the war on Christianity is getting worse and worse and worse. And if you don't see it, white evangelical Protestants. Hey, Silver, how many times can I say that? That's the target. That is the war. White evangelical Protestants. Folks, you don't see them disrupting black churches, black Christians, nothing against it. You don't see them disrupting black Christian churches so much. Man, oh man, are you noticing? Anybody noticing but me? It's the white Christian Protestant pastors that are being arrested. Are you noticing it? Hey, folks, come on, just open your eyes. Just be able to look at something like Bob Evans does when he's fixing something. He looks at it, he analyzes it, says, the cause and effect, cause and effect. This is what's happened. Look at that right there, Coach. See, that's not connected to this. That's why that's not working. Cause and effect. So all we have to do is just look around. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. This isn't just happening by accident. Cause and effect, all right? So I want to do this kind of lighthearted because probably the rest of the show isn't going to be real lighthearted. But JP, ain't nobody does it like JP, and he did this on the fact that they're now going to come knocking at your door. Go ahead and play this real quickly.
Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door to door, literally knocking on doors to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus.
Can I help you?
Oh, hi. I'm with the Biden administration. Do you have a minute for me to tell you about the non-FDA approved injection we desperately want you to get?
Why the hell are you knocking on my door?
I'll take that as a yes. We've been reviewing your medical records and it appears as though you haven't gotten the...
That's illegal.
Indeed. And what they show is you haven't gotten the shot yet. So I'm here on your private property to pressure you into doing so.
Letting politicians decide what medicines I take is insane. You're not doctors. You're not even qualified.
We're politicians. We like power. And we feel that qualifies us to do whatever we want.
It absolutely doesn't. What I put in my body is my choice, and I'll consult my doctor over that because he knows me personally. Because it's a medical issue.
No, ma'am. This is more of a political issue. You can trust us.
You're part of the government, and you work for me. And you being here is complete infringement on my rights. You need to read the Constitution.
At the Biden administration, we don't believe in the Constitution. It's not really how we want to govern. So you need this shot.
The fact that you really want me to get this thing makes you look really, really suspicious.
Thank you. You don't even know the half of it.
And the more you push this thing, the more I doubt the safety.
Oh, no. When you look at this spreadsheet with our profit margins, you'll see that what we're working with here is totally safe for business. And the long-term clinical trials of an hour and a half are squeaky clean. You have nothing to worry about.
It seems like you just want control.
For your protection, yes. Thank you for seeing. We're just looking out for your best interest with our propaganda campaign, censorship, and now me being here knocking on your door. You're welcome for all that we've been doing.
Are people dumb enough to believe that?
Some are. Now, I would really like to stab you with this needle and inject what's in it that you have no control over into your body.
Absolutely not.
I just want to do it anyway.
My body, my choice, you creep.
That's not the way we see it. At the Biden administration, we look at it as your body, our choice. It's kind of a Bill Cosby-inspired mentality we've adopted.
Get off my property now. Get the f*** off my property.
No. I don't understand. Are you saying you don't want the shot that you've chosen not to get? Wait. While I'm here... Do you mind if I confiscate all your guns?
Go ahead and try.
Yeah! that's more real than we want to admit, isn't it? Huh? Oh my goodness. And because now, again, I'm not making fun of anybody, right? Now we're seeing everybody's coming up with signs to put at your property. Folks, listen, they don't obey the law as it is. They're not, they don't care. And it comes back to what we've spoken about several times on the show. There is no redress of grievances. There's no folks, we have a lawless government. Our government is lawless. The FBI is lawless. They're lawless, okay? So we make all the signs we want to, and we put up all the fences we want to. I'm not trying to scare you. It ain't going to matter. Now, I'm going to show you something else real quick. Go the other direction. Yes, I know about fathers. Stay with me. Go to my Facebook page real quick there, Spence. Greg Lott. I know Roger's got some issues with Greg Lott, and we're not going to dive into those issues right now. It does, even somebody that we don't respect can say something that's pretty profound. And this was sent to me yesterday, maybe this morning, I don't remember, a clip of Greg Lott, Christian Persecution in America. This was so right on that I just thought we ought to play it. This thing's about 3 minutes long. This is where we are. Go ahead and play that real quick.
Revelation, Daniel, Ezekiel talk about the 21 cataclysmic plagues of God that will fall upon this world. Now, I don't care where you are in your eschatology. You got to get over this willy-nilly idea that we can live any way we jolly well please and we don't have to worry about persecution because Jesus is just going to slip us up out of here and we're never going to see any pain. We're never going to see any problems. You better read a Bible. I'm going to tell you what the Bible teaches. We will be delivered from the wrath of God, but we will not be delivered from the wrath of man. If you're looking for an escape route because you don't want persecution, you better quit reading a Marvel comic book and start reading the Bible. If you don't think persecution is right now at the door, you're not paying attention to what is going on. They've effectively closed down the local churches in this nation.
Amen.
Pastor R. Tour the other day, you recognize the fact he has over 200 citations. We only know about him getting arrested the one time. He's been arrested 32 times, I think he said. Did you know he just lost his court case? You know why he's having to take his preaching tour? He's on vacation with his family right now. But do you know why he's had to take his preaching tour and extend it to not go back to Canada? Because just the other day, he told me in my office on Friday morning, Brother Buford, just the other day, he lost his case in Canada. And when he goes back, he's facing a 4-year prison sentence just for keeping his church open. He said, now look, I'll go back and I'll go to prison for the gospel, but I'd rather go back and turn the world upside down from Canada with the gospel. But he's going to prison. He said, in the last month, Antifa has burned down, some of you have seen this, 24 churches with no repercussions. The government's letting it happen. The cowardly pastors are letting it happen. The shepherds have become brutish, stupid, and dumb, Ezekiel 34 says, and they're letting it happen, and nobody's standing up to him. And here's what he said. He said, I don't care what anybody tells you, Brother Locke, you keep being bold as a lion because it's coming here next. I said, it's coming here next. Persecution is at the door. I'm not talking about fictitious, made up. Everybody on Twitter says, well, y'all just got a persecution complex. Have you seen the people that are being censored in America? It ain't the left. There are no ramifications and consequences to being a leftist in America, only to being a Christian and a conservative. I'm telling you, they're coming against our bank accounts. They're coming against our tax records. Wow. They're coming against our children. They're coming against our schools. They're coming against our church. If you don't believe that, you ought to watch that nonsensical gay men's choir out in San Francisco that plainly said, we're coming for your children. We're coming for your children. We're coming for your children. I dare you to come for my children. I dare you to come for my kids. You bunch of sodomites and perverts to come for my kids. I'm telling you, we better stand up. We better push back.
But are we? Are we? And that's what we're all about here, right? Standing up, pushing back. And you would have to admit that we're one of the rare ones that are doing it because there's a great awakening that's going on. I want to talk a little bit about fathers and some stuff here, but let me get Jerry in here, then Jack, and then Kevin real quickly. Go ahead. Come on in, Jerry.
Morning, Coach. There's just too much to say with what you just put up there. I just wanted to give you some encouragement on the 444. Biblically, the number means material completeness. This number represents the books of the gospel that talk about the birth, life, death of Jesus Christ. These books, Matthew, John, Luke, and Mark, they're the four books of the disciples. I just wanted to bring that up.
Completeness, huh? Completeness. Yeah. I hope that's good news. I don't know. Come on, thanks, Jerry. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, without mentioning the dreaded M word, since 1906, we've been told we can't assemble and protect our own interests. I think maybe it's time to get Dr. Vieira back on for a little conference.
That's a good point. I'll try to do that. Kevin, come on in.
All right. So I want to dovetail what you were saying about, you know, people putting up signs. You're right. They're not obeying the law. So last night I was messing around with making up some signs. I grabbed a blank caution sign, and instead of using the law, I decided to play on their fears because that's what they do for us. So the sign says, "Caution, we abduct and torture members of the vaccine task force. Knock at your own risk." And then secondly, Coach, I want you to look at your phone.
Yeah, I got it right now, Kevin. I got it right now. Kevin just sent this, folks. I don't know where he got it. Numerology. Steve, you listening? The number 4 is the number of strength and stability. The numerology meaning the number 4, the salt of the earth. Now, this is what's here. This wasn't what Kevin put on there. The salt of the earth, the chief characteristic of the number 4 are dependable, productivity, punctuality, and obedience. It is trustworthy, patient, conventional, and traditional.
Amen.
3 4s, dude. 4 4 4. I received that, Kevin. Thanks, man. I received that. I want to go to. I want to veer back in a little bit to what we were discussing yesterday with them. You know, I don't care who it is. You started a conversation with somebody about their father. That's something we all have, right? Or didn't have. There's a father imprint or father wound in all of us, right? And so we ask ourselves, I ask myself, what's that father wound I passed on to my own kid? What was that thing? I'm so glad we're not on YouTube anymore. Because I used to have to play YouTube, I was worried about them banning me, taking us, pulling us down, right? Don't have to worry about that anymore. If you would, play, where is it for me? See My Father and Me. It's about halfway down the list. Pull that up there real quick. I don't know. This is the Paul Overstreet song. Now listen, because somebody told me, Spencer, I'm gonna get you going 17 different directions here real quickly, okay? Because it says in Book of Malachi, where is it? Malachi 4. Can you pull that up real quick, Spence? I'm sorry. I'm going to tie something together here. Malachi chapter 4. It says this at the end of Malachi. By the way, when the book of Malachi was written, God didn't speak to his people for, what was it, over 300 years? At the end of the book of Malachi, God went silent. We didn't hear from the Lord again for I think it was 300 years. It's always been amazing to me that when the Lord left, when God quit speaking to the people, the last thing he spoke about was daddies. Go down just to verse 3 and 4, if you will. And remember, behold, it says, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's Jesus walking in the spirit of Elijah, I believe. John the Baptist walking in the spirit of Elijah. And I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And the heart of the children to their fathers. Because if he doesn't, I'm going to smite the earth with a curse. So Malachi, God closed the book for 300 years. He's talking about daddies, fatherhood. It's interesting, if you pull up real quick, Luke 1, well, I got that. I copied that to you as well, Spence, I think. Well, you can type it in, Luke 1. So in the New Testament starts again, we get to the Gospels, we go to Luke, and What do we find happening in Luke? I think it's 17. Go down to Luke 17. 117, I'm sorry. What's it say? And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. There it is again. And the disobedient to the wisdom. Those two go together, by the way. And to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So there's a coming together, coming back of the reuniting of the fatherhood, the brotherhood, the fatherhood, the hearts of the father to the children. And I don't know if you've ever seen this Paul Overstreet song. It's one of my favorite of all time. And as you watch this video, I want you to think about this. This is a natural video of God turning the heart of the natural man to the son, and the son turning his natural gaze upon his father. So when I was seeing my father in me, talking about me seeing my old man in me, right? But friends, listen, what Malachi's talking about and what Luke's talking about is the image of our heavenly father. When people look at us, they should see our heavenly father in us. You get the connection here? So as you watch this video, I want you to ask yourself, when people see you, when your children see you, do they see their heavenly father in you? Seeing my father in me. Go ahead and play it.
Last night we brought the children by visit their grandpa, and it's plain to see they're truly part of him. While we were there, their grandma took out some old photographs, and he sure looked a lot like me back then. I'm seeing my father in me. I guess that's how it's meant to be. And I find more and more like him each day. I notice I walk the way he walks. I notice I talk the way he talks. I'm starting to see my father in me. And today I took my wife for a walk down that old dirt road where my daddy took my mom so many times. And we found the time to mention things never had before. Shared some thoughts about the family life. Yeah, I'm seeing my father in me. I guess that's how it's meant to be. And I find more and more like him each day. I notice I walk the way he walks. I notice I talk the way he talks. I'm starting to see my father in me. Now looking back, I can recall times we disagreed. I could not take hold of his old-fashioned ways. And the more I tried to prove him wrong, the more I proved him right. Now I know why he still stood by me through that space. I'm seeing my father in me. Yes, it's how it's meant to be. More and more like it each day. I notice I walk the way he walks. I notice I talk the way he talks. I'm starting to see Father in me. and I'm happy to see my father and me.
That's pretty profound, isn't it? That's pretty profound. You guys, sometimes I watch a replay of this show, and all of a sudden say, wow, that mannerism, that was my dad. You guys ever catch yourself doing that? Looking at, oh my God, I'm becoming my dad. It's undeniable. By the way, the natural DNA of a father into a son. You can't do anything about it. You can't prevent it. It's there, right? But when your son looks at you, see, I don't know about you guys. I learned to be a dad by my dad.
Amen, Coach.
And my dad learned to be a dad by his dad. And his dad was gone all the time because he had to, he's one of those guys who worked for the Ohio Power Company. And he would leave for 2 weeks at a time, go up to Shelby, Ohio, wherever it was, and work, and then come home over the weekend. And so my dad probably grew up without a dad. What did his dad do all the time? My dad's dad worked all the time. And my own father, who there were five of us, my dad loved us, and his greatest expression of love was what? Anybody know his greatest expression of love? Work! He worked double shifts, right? Where did he learn that? He learned it from his dad. And so in a lot of ways, this becomes a generational curse that's passed down to us because why? We do become our father. But the miracle of being reborn is now you're cast in the image of a new daddy, of a new father. And I wonder how many of us have taken the time to sit down with our own children and explain to our own children that rebirth that we went through. What was our life was like before that, how lost we were, and all of a sudden, everything was made brand new. And I think, again, in our family, I got born again in 1987. Begotten again, as Professor Toto would be, 1987. And our oldest son was 14 years old when I got born again in 1987. Is that right, Michelle? I don't know. I think it's what it was. And as I'm on my own born-again journey, I'm a brand-new guy. He don't get it, I'm sure. I don't get it. And then all of a sudden, he's off to college and gone and boom, boom, boom. And so the experience to live with me as a born-again father, he didn't really have much, he didn't have much chance to do that. Right? And so a lot of the, see, the enemy, more than anything, wants to transmit through you and through me that old man characteristics. That's a curse that we have got to break off of our children. Did you ever stop and think, ask yourself, how do your kids see you? Specifically, how does your son view you? Because I'll tell you this, truth be told, your son's impression or any man's impression of a heavenly father is probably going to be based a lot on an earthly father. And there are a lot of people, when they hear the word father, heavenly father, that ain't good news to them. That ain't good news. The word father ain't a good thing in their mind because we haven't been good ones, right? So to open for discussion here, I don't have all the answers, man. I don't know how the answers. How do we explain? How do we share the transformation in our own lives that our children would now begin to see not Frank in me, not Frank Dobbenmeyer, but they'd be able to see the image of my heavenly Father in me? And how do we explain to them and demonstrate to them that transformation that took place in our lives? Because I think all of us would be, all of us, hey, anybody had any experience of being a dad before you became one? No. You just do what your daddy did, didn't you? And we're passing down some things that probably, my dad gave me some great qualities, man. He gave me some great ones. But not much of a spiritual heritage. Why? He didn't have one. How do you share what you don't have? And so in our, you know, without getting too much in the weeds, with our own relationship, our oldest child and I, he didn't have me as a Christian father. Do you guys understand that? He didn't have me as a, I became one, but he's 14, 15. He's out of the house before my Christianity took root. But it's the Lord's will, we just read, that he's going to turn the hearts of the children back to their father. And I believe the Father created in the image of Christ. I don't want my son to be me on earth. I want him to see my heavenly Father in me and emulate him. Come on in, Jack. I'll open it up here a second. Is this making sense? Are you guys following me? And we have such a horrible, horrible, deep, deep father wound in this country. That's what, there are 70% of the babies born in a black community don't even have a dad, let alone a Christian dad. And think about this, from the time that you get up talking, hey, your parents send you to school and you're in school all day. And I don't know about you, I didn't have my first male teacher till I was in the seventh grade. I was in school. I was 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old before I had the first man ever teach me in public school. Anybody say amen? Amen. Trained by women. Maybe some of you were fortunate. Hey, Joe Silver, maybe you got those nuns cracking you on the knuckles. I don't know. But the truth of it is, most of us have not been raised. Wow. We haven't been raised by godly men. We haven't. Go ahead, Joe.
The first male teacher I had was Father Felix.
Doesn't sound good.
He was a great man, and he was ridiculed by everyone because he talked about this, teaching science, and that was sixth grade. Most awesome teacher I ever had. Amazing man.
And the influence of a young kid, right? The influence of a strong male on young children. And we would have to agree, wouldn't we, that for the most part, dads, we turn, okay, I got to ask, how many of you, dad, when you were growing up and raising your own children, how many of you went up at night and prayed over your children at night, or did you send mom? And who became the spiritual head of your home? In my house, the spiritual head of my house was my mother. And she was a mutt. I was raised in a Catholic home. My dad's dad converted to Catholicism to marry my grandma. Dad was a second generation Catholic, married my mom, who was a mutt. She went to a different church every Sunday. Only for me to find out later, she was born again at age 17 years old. My mother was, but probably wasn't discipled. So as you look at my home, I'm talking to you in your home now. What's the spiritual? Who was the straw that stirred the drink spiritually in your home? And I would say for most of us, sadly, it probably wasn't us. And that's one of the things we're dealing with today. Now, I don't have an answer to it. Somebody come in here and give me an answer. But until we identify what the problem is, what do we do? And that's why I was talking yesterday about our need to somehow reach this next generation. Hey, Joe Silver, listen. When I stand before my six grandchildren, little Dave and the five stair-step girls, they are spellbound as wisdom comes out of grandpa's mouth. You guys know what I'm talking about? They're spellbound. And I believe those of us who are now past the fathering age, we have to repair that wound somehow, but we have to break that curse into our grandchildren. We have to become, what if our grandchildren began to see us as that godly figure? What if they saw us as God? You know what I'm saying, right? Beyond their father, the God that their father prays to. What if the image that we set impacted their lives for the rest of their lives? And it can. Come on in, Chad.
One of the things that as men, we think that because if we make money with a breadwinner, that makes us a good dad.
That's it. Chad, our fathers have been trained that, and, right? Through the Great Depression and all that.
And the thing about it is that, and I talked about it this weekend, time is the greatest commodity that we have. And so that is the only, this opportunity, this 18-year window to set up a child and to make them into a solid citizen, a solid Christian, a solid person, is the only opportunity you have. And really, in there, you really only have like 5 or 6 real impactful years, 8 to 13. That's when you set it in. Yep. So if we're gone, we're missing Thanksgiving, we're missing all these other things. So why we're chasing dollars, why to keep up with the Joneses or whatever it is, you know, to try to make ends meet or whatever our deal is. But really, our children are paying the price for it. So they don't really care. They don't really care if you have any money or not. They want their dad there. They want their mom there, you know, and be able to give instruction.
Amen, Chad. That is so good. I don't know if Dale Sosh is in here. Dale's never one to be silent about it. Dale raised his kids on the front lines at the abortion clinic. He didn't send them with their mother. He took them. They saw that in their father. What do you suppose they do when they get older? Why? They're seeing their father in them. They're doing what the old man did, right? I hate to tell you this. My kids, they'd be at the ballpark. That's where their daddy took them to the ballpark. Come on in, Clay.
Uncles also have a big influence.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah. I used to spend the night with my grandparents on the weekends, and my dad would come over there, and my uncle was always over there, and he would always tell my father what he had been up to, which was usually driving fast, drinking, and casing women. And I would see my father listen to his stories, and I would watch him, you know, laugh at him and listen to these things. And then I thought, man, they think this is cool. And they weren't talking about, think of the effect that they had on me, because I'm telling you, it had a major effect on me. And I sure wish that they would have been talking about how cool it was to learn the Bible and go to church and make a difference in other people's lives instead of that. Because if they would have done that, I would have probably done that.
That's right. Because, listen, what is important to you does become important to your children. You got it, folks. You got to understand that whatever you're putting your time and effort and energy into, it becomes important to them too. And Michelle would tell you, sweet Michelle, our daughters, they spent weekends softball park. They were good softball players. Michelle would take off on Saturday morning. I'd see them Sunday night when they came home from the softball park. I'd try to go, but sometimes I couldn't get away to go. I was coaching, doing my job. I couldn't go. And so the things that became important to our daughters were softball, right? Wasn't the things of the Lord. It wasn't unborn baby. It's important to them today. Can I be surprised that our son isn't excited about the things of the Lord? He wasn't trained in that stuff. Well, we sent him to youth groups. Now he steps back and he looks at us. He's 39 years old and looks at me and, does he think I'm a little weird? Does he think I'm weird? Why does he think I'm weird? Because I never took him to do the things that I did. Never took him. And what if you really, really, really wanted to be like your dad, but you didn't have the training inside to do it? How do you do that? How do you become? Come on, Reggie.
Good morning. I just wanted to share this regarding fathers. My dad was a hunter. He was a hardworking man. He was always, you know, he was just a man, a manly man. But the most profoundest impression that I will never forget, and it brings me to tears.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, when you start talking about your dad, you begin to cry because there's a deep wound in our heart in relationship to our earthly father, which is why some of us are struggling with our relationship with our heavenly father. Go ahead, Gretchen.
I will never forget walking in on him, and I saw him on his knees praying to the Lord. And for whatever reason, that just sat with me. Mm. And I was the one out of all my brothers and sisters that came back to the Lord. I will never forget that. And I always think of it daily. He's gone now. And I miss him. He wasn't the perfect man. But fathers, lead your family in prayer. So, yeah.
Be the spiritual head. Be the spirit. If I had it to do over again, I would be praying with my children at night. I wouldn't send my wife up to do it. Right? Dads, they want to be like you. And unfortunately, they pick up the things that we wish they didn't pick up about us. Come on in, JR, then Bernie.
We can still be a good example. The good news is, Coach, that we're, and thank you very much for your show this morning. This is a blessing to me. The good news is we're all born with an internal app. And that's a need for a father and a mother. And when one of those is missing, especially the father, we fill it with something. We fill it with alcohol, drugs, sex, gangs, money. And none of that satisfies. None of that satisfies. And it's not by chance. It's called Father in Heaven. The problem that I have and Clay has and a lot of folks of us like have is, well, what is God? Because we've seen our Father on Earth, and gosh, that wasn't a very good example. So how can we love that Father in Heaven because it's still a Father, and we compare it to Father we have on Earth?
That's right.
And you keep trying to fill it. And the way I try to fill it, and I think the way a lot of other folks try to fill it, is we become that father that we did not have. You've done that, Coach. You've done a tremendous job of the grandfather that we didn't have. And that's good. And maybe on purpose. Maybe on purpose. That's why you are the way you are. Who knows?
It has to, JR, I think it has to be purposeful. It has to be purposeful.
Yeah.
Right? It'd be easiest thing for me to do would be sit around, not anymore, but the big fight would be to watch football games and basketball games. And my kids grew up around me. I wouldn't even have any association with during the day. And what did I teach them to do? Oh, Sunday afternoon football. They sit around, watch it with me, huh? That's the father mark. Come on in, Bernie.
Okay. I think having conversations with your kids is really important. The Bible says as you're on your way, as you're walking with them, it's like take a drive and just go out with them. And spend time, kind of that open time when you can just talk about whatever comes up, you know, and get into the hearts of them. We're so distracted. It's really hard when you read the Bible and you see great people like David, and yet his kids, what did his kids come up like? They had all kinds of problems, okay? You see like Eli or Aaron, you know, and their sons didn't walk in their ways. You know, just it pains your heart to see that. You know, I could tell you stuff. I could tell you struggles with my dad. I could tell you my dad's struggles, but I could also, you got to make a list of all the good things that your dad taught you. You know, I mean, if your dad was honest, stayed married, you know, worked hard, those things you got to be grateful for. I'm really grateful for the time I had with my grandfather. And my grandfather was a hard guy, but I got to spend some summers with him. And remember him telling me about his grandfather. His grandfather made two trips from Independence, Missouri to San Francisco as a guard on a wagon train. And I got to learn a whole lot of history by talking to my grandfather, but it was because I worked with him, and he was a hard guy to work for. But at the end of the day, he's like, well, not too bad for a young buck and an old broken down truck driver. And you know, but those were real times, but I didn't really know. I had to know God to know really how to be a father. You know, I was shocked after I became a Christian, and then I started learned that there's things that God expected out of husbands and fathers, and it wasn't even on my radar list. But I had to learn that, and I read some good books, but still, you just got to get out and be a
Hey, folks,
you can't
undo the past. You can only impact the future, right? Most of your kids,
right.
My kids never knew me unsaved. They never knew me unsaved, all right? And so we have to make sure that they understand how you do it in a tactful way, that they understand the transformation that took place and it's available for them as well. Bless you, Bernie.
They need to know that you love them, right?
Yep, that's right. Come on in, Michelle. Then Chad, come on, Michelle.
Morning, family. Coach, I can only testify because I grew up without a dad. So that's zero input from any side. So I always just felt like an outsider because I couldn't find anything which I had inside of me, inside of the people around me. But God, Coach, but God, he heals us. And I met my dad later in life, and I met him already from the heart of I forgave him for what he did. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going there to forgive him. I just had spent time with him because I forgave him. I forgave him before I went. So it's very powerful that we have to forgive our earthly fathers and then just mimic a better example to your children.
Amen. So folks, think about this. What kind of reaction do you get in your gut when you hear somebody say police officer? Might be mixed, huh? What kind of reaction do you get if somebody says politician? Ooh. What if somebody says, you ready, Roger? Lawyer. Ooh. You understand that for some kids, when they hear father, that's the same reaction they get?
Boom.
You talk about their heavenly father and they go, ugh. Are you kidding me? Ugh. Come on, Chad.
Well, another one is stepdad. Those are some have been really sexual perverts. My point was is that we need not only pray with our children at night. You know, if we're driving down the road in a vehicle and we see a crash or something that there, and then just we can stop and take a moment to know that we don't reserve prayers just for bedtime, that there should be in a continuous time to talk. You know, if you remember that movie the show, the Rifleman, I talked about this before, that the Rifleman, he's there and he's always setting the example for his son. Why? Because his son is right there. So it's not as a do as I say and not as I do mentality. That's what we have. So we have to change that to we've got to be doing as men, as dads, okay, not just with our own sons and daughters, but with their neighbors and our kids' friends. See, we can set the example with all of them. So their house may not be right, but we can also show them, hey, look, this is how it's supposed to look.
So, Chad, as somebody who's married to a public school teacher, we could probably ask your wife, I could ask my wife, what kind of women are in those schools and what is it they're teaching to our young men, right? Folks, do you understand that? Do you understand that some of those women, I don't care. Some of those women in there have a horrible father complex themselves and now they're lording or hoarding or whatever over that little 7-year-old, 8-year-old boy trying to knock some of that starch out of him, trying to knock some of that masculinity out of him. Do we understand that the only way a boy can learn to be a man is to be taught by a man? A woman cannot teach a boy how to be a man. Now, I know many of you are trying. I know the situation that you've been in, but we are foolish if we think that we can continue to farm our young men off who already maybe have some type of father wound already to a public school where the women in there probably have a father wound as well and expect to have healthy young men come out of it. Anybody think I'm crazy? Come on, JR, your hand still up or not? I mean, your hand's still up. Did you want to say something? Took it down. Anybody? Dale?
Amen, Coach. You know, this stuff is right up my alley, but the thing about it, it's not just a two-show thing. Brother, this is a life thing. This is a choice that as fathers make, you know, I'm just saying I'm enjoying the show, but it's a determination that you have to do every single day. And I'm just telling you, it's a great show. It's been a great two shows, but then what, right? Then what? Yeah. You know, it's kind of like discipleship. All right, we got them saved, but now what? You know, I challenged everybody yesterday after the show, Coach, and I told them, I said, this is what, you know, in my house when we have dinner, before we leave the dinner table, we sit down and we read a chapter of the Bible. We're kind of reading through John right now. And it gets to the point where my daughter's like, she's hanging on the edge of, she goes, can we read another chapter? This is the things that I want my kids to say, you know, when they get older and I'm not around. It's like, man, I remember sitting around the dinner table. We didn't even chill.
Start a family tradition, right?
Absolutely. And I'll say this, Coach, also is just because your kids moved out of the house, that doesn't make you that you're no longer their father. You know, we're getting ready to do a big vacation, and I take all my kids with me because, you know, I was sharing this on Sunday, Coach. I said, children are a gift from the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. If you're giving your son a gift and he's abusing the snot out of that gift, you're apt to not give him another gift like that. In other words, you give him a gun and he starts using it as a hammer, you're not going to go buy him another gift. This is what the Lord showed me. Why is it that Christians are not having children? Because God looks how they have abused the gifts that he's given them. He's not giving them anymore.
Amen. Okay, so listen, I'm about two things here. I don't know where this show's going, okay? But I know it's hitting the mark. Number one, I said to my wife two nights ago, I'm going to try to get all of my grandchildren and all of my children to go to Clay's event. I'll pay for them to go. A family Christian event like that would be really, really powerful. And I think some of you ought to consider doing that, asking your children to go. Tell them you'll pay the way. And they can go down there and they can hang around. You know, if you come with us, it ain't going to be sissy Christianity, which is what most of them are introduced to. So good family vacation time. I'd suggest that. Secondly, write your son or daughter a letter. Write him a letter. And whatever. Say, hey, screwed up here, screwed up there, proud of you here, not perfect, did the best I could. Any, love you. Anything I screwed up on, please forgive me, yada, yada, yada. And I'm telling you, that will be a pressure valve release. It's hard, man. It's hard to do. But I think it's important. Come on in, Bernie. We're about done here.
Yeah, I just want to say, we get to back up and remember that our fathers are our fathers. And what right do we have to judge them?
Well, Bernie, the Bible says to honor them, not love them. Honor them.
And even if your dad was dishonorable, you can honor him by being honorable.
Yes.
If the father of a righteous man will have great joy, in the end, he will be glad. You know, if your father's in hell and you're in heaven, he will be glad that you're his son.
Amen, folks. Amen. So I keep talking about me, but I live with me, okay? So we have my six-year-old namesake, little David. And I'm constantly saying to David, even though his last name isn't Dobbenmeyer, I constantly say to David, hey, David, I'm your grandfather. You are a Dobbenmeyer. Now, that's not really who you are, but your name is whatever your name is. But you're a Dobbenmeyer, David. You're my grandson. And I want you to know that everything you do, David, good or bad, that reflects on Dobbenmeyer. And all of us make mistakes and all of us know good things. But David, when you get old, when people hear the name Dobbenmeyer, do you want them to think a good thing or a bad thing? And here's how you make sure they say good things. These kind of things, I think, are so important with the younger kids. Our older kids, it's too late, huh? Yeah. How many of you had a dad said, we don't do that in this house? We need more of that, don't we? We need more of that. We don't do that in this house. And teach kids to be honorable grandpas. You guys have the ability to do that more than even what an... Because we're all old folks here. Spencer, he's still got a chance to do it. Teach the children to be honorable. To honor the family name. To honor... That's why... Oh, thank you, Lord. See, the Bible says, Ten Commandments, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And for too long, we thought that meant don't cuss. Don't say, no. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain means don't call yourself a child of God and not be one.
Amen.
You're doing it in vanity, vanity. All is vanity. Don't call yourself a Christian and not be one. Don't do that to my name, the Lord said, right? Well, we need to pass that on. Hey, David, Dobbenmeyers don't do that. Dobb and Myers don't do that, David. Honor. Honor the name. Honor thy father and mother. Honor thy heavenly father. It's a progression. So grandmas and grandpas, there's an assignment for you. Build into those little lives. Somebody's trying to come in. Is it you, Silver?
Yes, sir. That commandment is the only commandment with a promise of a long life.
Long life. Amen, amen. All right. Got some homework to do. When they look at you, mommies, daddies, seeing your father in you, are they seeing the image of the incorruptible God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Let that be our goal. God bless you. See you tomorrow.